We mentioned earlier on we're going to be talking to Lucy Day, who's just opened a new therapy practice in Oakley as a psychotherapist. I'm having a bad day. Maybe I need your help. It's all in black and white, and I just got tongue-twisted. That was all.
Oh, that's all right.
Anyway, good morning, Lucy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
It's nice to have you come in.
Thank you for having me.
And it's going to be a pleasure talking to you about this, because obviously it's National Mental Awareness Week, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
And there's quite a few people that do suffer from a lot of things, anxiety and many things. What made you get into this to start with?
I think if you look around now and where we are as people in life, life is more challenging, it's busier, we have higher expectations, and ultimately that comes with us neglecting ourselves or perhaps not meeting our needs, which then in turn obviously can lead to mental health conditions, things like anxiety, depression, phobias. And I think when you speak to people and you kind of look around the community, mental health doesn't discriminate. So it doesn't matter what age you are, what you've got in your life, how much money, what you do for a living. It affects us all.
Yeah.
Me personally, so when I was in my 20s, I found myself in a position where I went through a bit of a trauma. So I had an ectopic pregnancy. Felt absolutely fine at the time, managed really well, and then started to realise that things crept in.
Yeah.
I worried about things I hadn't worried about before, and it wasn't just worrying, it was taking over my mind, and it was making me not enjoy the things that I used to enjoy.
Yeah.
So it gave me the incentive to go out and go, okay, what is this and what do I do about it?
Yeah, I mean, it is a difficult thing to sort of approach you know, with people that are suffering. I mean, you know, I know someone at the moment that, and I was unaware that, you know, he was suffering from depression. It wasn't until I got told the other night, actually, about it. But people find it very hard, I think, to sort of talk about it, don't they?
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just one of those things. So how do you get someone that you think is suffering with one of these phobias, anxiety, depression? How do you go about trying to approach them to get help? How would you sort of, or what would you recommend?
I think nowadays, I think people are more open to talking about it. But you're absolutely right. There is still a bit of a stigma around it that you're almost failing if you have anything going on, because it's kind of an invisible illness. What I always say to people is talking really is underestimated.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about things can make you feel better instantly just through having a conversation with someone and saying, you know what, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
A lot of people that have come to see me have felt that they're unable to speak to people around them. And again, I think that comes from us as people not wanting to burden the people that we love, burden the people that we care about.
Yeah.
So sometimes coming to see a therapist or speaking to someone that's absolutely detached from you and your life can just feel quite freeing.
Yeah, I think the other thing really is that if someone is suffering from one of these anxieties, and there are quite a few of them, that they probably find that they're embarrassed to sort of mention it to someone, really. They just sort of bottle it up and it just gets worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway, more about that in a little bit. But you've got this new practice.
Yes.
Which you seem really chuffed about. it's great. So how long's that been going now?
So actually, I've only launched this month.
Yeah.
So it's been in the process for quite a long time. So whilst I was doing my studies and over the beginning of the year, I've known that private practice was where I wanted to sit. I already work for a charity in Norwich called the Matthew Project.
I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, so supporting young people who are affected by somebody else's substance misuse.
Yeah.
So I still very much do that, and I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
But my private practice runs alongside that, and I've just created a space that I think is designed to help people feel as calm, as relaxed, yeah, and as safe as possible to share what's going on with them.
Yeah, I think when you think back, I mean, we used to go to see someone like yourself, and we used to lie on a sofa, didn't we? And,
yeah.
Just talk and everything else. But it's much more relaxed now, isn't it?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. So I did my training with the Human Givens. So that's the modality of therapy that I use. And a lot of the work is, because I know what you say about laying on the couch,
yeah,
you know, it's not like that. Nobody lies down. You know, they can if they want, but I don't think anyone wants to, you know. It's relaxed. We do a lot of kind of chatting, a lot of listening, and also a lot of calming breathing work and help to find a sort of relaxing place in your mind. So it's a lot more than what you perhaps might see on TV or in film.
Yeah. I mean, what do you find at the moment with people coming to see you that, you know, what's the main thing they're coming to see you for at the moment? Because obviously there's quite a few things that you go on. I mean, you've got depression, panic attacks, phobias. Low self-esteem is another big one that people can suffer from, can't they?
Absolutely. And I think social media and young people's expectations of what they should look like, what their body should be like, what they should be doing in their social life, where they should be striving for their career, where they should be holidaying. Everything is much, much higher now because we have social media where we see these fantastic influencers who are incredible and perfect. Yeah. So low self-esteem is massive. But I would say at the moment, so I work really closely with obviously addictions. Depression and anxiety, I think, is something that most people have suffered with at a low level, but perhaps don't realise it. But it's a range of things, really. I've been supporting Susan Wymark for her bereavement group. So she's a local funeral director, and she's fantastic and runs these incredible bereavement groups to support people who are going through a difficult time after a death. And so I see a lot of bereavement clients and a lot of children and young people.
Yeah, I mean, it is bereavement especially is hard. And we were talking about this to Graham, one of the South Norfolk councillor, the other day, that it is hard because if you're a couple and you've been together for many years, and it's for whatever reason, I mean, we do, we laugh and joke about it, that the men always go first. But it's not always the case. But then again, you're left with someone that is missing their partner, aren't, you know, and they find it hard to cope with, you know, whether it's the man or the woman. That is difficult. And they don't have anybody to talk to, do they? Especially if they haven't got family around.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that you can get involved with and everything else, which is absolutely fantastic. But I tell you what, there's so much to talk about. Mm. Shall we just have a little bit of a break and then we'll come back to you in just a moment? That'll be great, that will
Thank
be.
Thank you.
It's back with Lucy. That was one of your songs you wanted played. we can say her daughters here at the moment, can't we?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, go on. Just say hello.
Hello.
There you go. All right. Now you're a superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got, dentist. Oh, dear. Anyway, right, carrying on. I mean, we were just having a chat a little bit earlier on. I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of things that people suffer from is children. You know, they have the problems, don't they? You
Absolutely.
Know, they think they've got to live up to their expectations. And, you know, I mean, I was saying that, you know, my son, a moment ago, he lost three people through suicide.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they were only teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, and that was because their dad had done exactly the same. You know, it is depression. So what's the best thing to do? Well, how do you go about talking to the children, or, you know, taking care of them? I mean, school children as well. I mean, it's like, you know, for argument's sake, like your daughter. I mean, we've heard so many times now that there's posts put on Facebook and they're, you know, people are saying this about what you look like and what you should look like and, you know, different things like that. It's not very nice, is it?
So, no.
So how would you go about sort of, you know, the bereavement side and the counselling of people like that?
Yeah. So I think when somebody has lost somebody through suicide, it's very different to a lot of other deaths.
Yeah.
So it throws out a lot of feelings and questions that perhaps you wouldn't have with maybe an expected death or an elderly death. Susan actually runs once a month a suicide bereavement group, which is run locally at Palgrave Village Hall.
Yeah.
I think it's the last Wednesday of the month. And that's a really safe, great space for people to come, listen, talk, share what they want to.
Yeah.
And it's a really wonderful group, and the way that they support each other through their journeys, and they're all at very different stages, is to watch just amazing.
Yeah.
Because these are people that have been through really difficult things and are navigating, and their brains are, if you like, calibrating to keep going. And you know, that's tough when you've lost somebody that you love and somebody that you love has died. And it's inspired me to think about, I was so impressed by it, and I was so, I just felt in awe of all these people that were able to find this strength, and, you know, Susan and her team able to facilitate that as well. And
yeah.
It was just incredible that I felt, having a background working with children, that there could be a bit more out there for children.
Yeah.
Because I think often children are forgotten around a bereavement, because they are quite resilient and they tend to get on with things, you know, more so than adults. They can be forgotten, and that can cause complex grief and delayed trauma. So I came to Susan with the idea of, let's start a children's bereavement group.
Yeah.
And let's put your skills and your knowledge, you know, with my knowledge, and let's create something that's going to be a bit of light in a really dark time. And that is really, really exciting and is currently going on behind the scenes. Susan and I are backwards and forwards organising that. So once that's organised, we will be putting that out there to local schools, local companies, on social media, so that people can refer in and, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, children handle things in different ways at the moment, don't they? And I think they probably sort of like rebel, you know, they get rebellious, don't they, about certain things, I would have thought. I mean, you know, I'm only going back, or quite a few years back now, when a partner of mine died, and she had three boys, and I had to explain to them, you know, that their mother had died, which was heartbreaking in itself. And I know that Richard, the eldest one, he rebelled in a way that was difficult for him, and he was more of a how can I put it, more of a nuisance. He used to do things that he never done before, and that was hard. And I must admit, then I didn't have the help to sort of work on it. You know, I had no one to talk to at the time about it, and you know, hopefully you know, things worked out for him, but we've unfortunately lost contact, but there you go.
I mean, behaviours and things are often driven by us trying to meet our emotional needs. So we will often act out in ways to try and meet those needs, which isn't always the best behaviour and the best way. But the body and the mind know that it wants something, but it doesn't know how to get it. So it's about looking at those needs and meeting those in a healthier way.
Yeah. I mean, it is a great job that, you know, you're doing and everything else. I mean, I'm just looking at some of the things that you do as well. Anger problems. Mm. Oh, yeah, anger. We all get angry, don't we?
We do, yeah. Anger's really normal.
It is. I mean, I think one of the main things, road rage, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I used to be one for that, and you used to sort of curse and swear at drivers and different things like that. But I'm looking at the other one, relationship problems as well. I mean, that's got to be fairly high on the list as well, isn't it, really?
Sure, yeah.
With things that you can tackle. I mean, it's been great talking to you, Lucy, and hopefully this business that you've, therapy practice that you've set up in Oakley is going to be a great success for you.
Thank you.
And your daughter there, she's she's now smiling. She won't be in a little while. Off to the dentist, isn't
yes.
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not looking forward to that, are you?
Not really, no.
And then it's back to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind. You'll enjoy yourself at school. Yeah. Lucy, anyway, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, we wish you all the very best for the future of the business.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Bye. Take care.